Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim. I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, July 7th. Uvalde officer asked permission to shoot gunman, but got no answer. An Uvalde police officer asked for a supervisor's permission to shoot the gunman who would soon kill 21 people at Robb Elementary School in May before he entered the building. But the supervisor did not hear the request or responded too late, according to a report released Wednesday evaluating the law enforcement response to the shooting. The request from the Uvalde officer, who was outside the school about a minute before the gunman entered Robb Elementary, had not been previously reported. The officer was reported to have been afraid of possibly shooting children while attempting to take out the gunman, according to the report released Wednesday by the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training Center in San Marcos. The report provides a host of new details about the May 24th shooting, including several missed opportunities to engage or stop the gunman before he entered the school, the lack of response to the officer's request to shoot the suspect outside the school was the most significant new detail that the report revealed. A reasonable officer would conclude in this case, based upon the totality of the circumstances, that use of deadly force was warranted, according to the report. The report referred to the Texas Penal Code, which states an individual is justified in using deadly force when the individual reasonably believes the deadly force is immediately necessary to prevent the commission of murder. The report said one of the first responding officers, a Uvalde School District police officer, drove through the school's parking lot at a high rate of speed and didn't spot the gunman who was still in the parking lot. The report said the officer might have seen the suspect if he had driven more slowly or parked his car at the edge of the school property and approached on foot. The report also found flaws in how the school maintained security of the building. The report noted that propping doors open is a common practice in the school, a practice that can create a situation that results in danger to students. The exterior door the gunman used to enter the school had been propped open by a teacher who then closed it before the gunman entered, but it didn't lock properly. The teacher did not check to see if the door had locked, the report said. The teacher also did not appear to have the proper equipment to lock the door, even if she had checked. The report also notes that even if the door had been locked properly, the suspect still could have gained access to the building by shooting out the glass in the window. An audio analysis outlined in the report shows 100 rounds were fired in the first 3 minutes after the gunman entered rooms 111 and 112 from 11:33 a.m. to 11:36 a.m. The report highlighted other issues with the law enforcement response before the gunman, an 18-year-old Uvalde man, entered rooms 111 and 112 for the first time. The gunman was seen by security cameras entering room 111, then leaving the room, then re-entering the room before officers arrived. The report determined that the lock on room 111 was never engaged because the lock required a key to be inserted from the hallway side of the door. Uvalde School District Police Chief Pete Arredondo previously told the Texas Tribune that he had checked the door on room 111, but it was locked. The officers were also in multiple teams at both ends of the south hallway of the school, resulting in a high likelihood of officers at either end of the hallway shooting officers at the other end if the suspect had emerged from the classroom again, according to the report. The report said that after the gunman entered the building, the officers did not properly engage the shooter and lost momentum. Ideally, the officers would have placed accurate return fire on the attacker when the attacker began shooting at them, the report said. Maintaining position or even pushing forward to a better spot to deliver accurate return fire would have undoubtedly been dangerous, and there would have been a high probability that some of the officers would have been shot or even killed. However, the officer also would likely have been able to stop the attacker and then focus on getting immediate medical care to the wounded. The report is likely to inform any policy responses to the tragedy, the deadliest school shooting in Texas history. Alert's 26-page report outlining the attack on Robb Elementary School in complete detail was very difficult for me to read today, as it was for all Texans, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said in a statement. He noted that more reports from the FBI, the Texas Rangers, and the Uvalde County District Attorney were expected to be released in the coming weeks and months. Odessa pregnancy centers stay on alert. Since Roe v. Wade was overturned on June 24th, pregnancy centers across the nation have been vandalized. Locations for the vandalism include Minnesota, Florida, Virginia, Tennessee, and New Hampshire. Mary Hawley, the executive director for Birthright of Odessa, said Wednesday morning that no vandalism or threats have been made to the establishment. Hawley did say, as a precaution after the Supreme Court ruling was announced, that she asked the Odessa Police Department to make extra patrols around the office. "We haven't had any ugliness aimed at us," said Hawley, who also serves as regional consultant for Texas and Oklahoma Birthright. Hawley added, "We were proactive to ask the police to do extra patrols around our office. They were very kind and very happy to do that for us." According to its website, Birthright states, "Birthright is interdenominational and is not involved in any political activities or lobbying. Birthright's focus is on loving the mother, reminding her that there is hope and ensuring she is not alone." Hawley reiterated over the phone that Birthright doesn't get involved politically. "We aren't political in any way," Hawley said. "We don't get involved in any marches or anything legal. We are simply here to help women, help them have their babies, and help them with their needs." The services Birthright offers include pregnancy help, childbirth adoption, prenatal care, community programs, parenting skills, and child care. Referrals include medical support, financial resources, housing, social assistance, and professional counseling. Birthright also offers pre-pregnancy tests, maternity and baby items, a 24/7 helpline, and live chat through its website. "We are there to guide women to whatever help they need, whether it's financial or shelter or counseling," Hawley said. The Odessa American also reaches out to the Life Center of Odessa. The Life Center Director of Operations, Matthew Davis, issued this statement, "The Life Center is safe and secure, and we believe in the goodness of our communities." Local news roundup. Odessan accused of stabbing friend. A 30-year-old Odessa man was arrested early Sunday morning after another local man was repeatedly stabbed on the east side of town. According to an Odessa Police Department report, residents living in the 1400 block of Inglewood Lane called 911 around 4:30 a.m. Sunday after a 43-year-old friend of theirs showed up at their house saying he'd just been stabbed by John Ray Fell, 30. When officers arrived, they found the man covered in blood near the garage, and he'd been stabbed in the chest and hip and slashed on the leg, the report stated. During an interview at the hospital, the man said he'd been drinking beer with some friends in the 3100 block of Eisenhower Road when Fell inexplicably reached around from behind and stabbed him in the chest. When he turned around, the man told officers, Fell stabbed him in the hip, causing him to flee the scene and drive himself 3 miles to his other friend's home on Inglewood. According to the report, officers found Fell at the Eisenhower residence, and he told them the man who'd been stabbed attacked him after he walked away from a verbal fight with him. Fell admitted he grabbed a kitchen knife and stabbed the man multiple times. Fell was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. He remains in the Ector County Jail as of Wednesday on a $25,000 surety bond. woman arrested after Walgreens robbery. An El Paso woman was wanted in connection with an October Walgreens robbery, was arrested last week by the Odessa Police Department, according to an OPD report. An employee of the Walgreens at 8th Street and West County Road called 911 to report a robbery. The clerk told officers that a woman came into the store around 11 p.m. October 26, 2021 and began shopping. When the woman got to the counter with her items, the clerk said she handed her a note demanding all of the money in the register or they would all be killed, the report stated. Another employee called police and the suspect left the store without any items or money. Crime scene techs lifted Candace Monique Romero's fingerprints from the note and her driver's license photo was positively matched to surveillance video of the 34-year-old suspect, according to the report. A warrant for Romero's arrest on a robbery charge was issued, and it was served on June 28th. She was also arrested on an outstanding warrant in a 2021 heroin possession case. Romero remained in the Ector County Jail as of Wednesday on surety bonds totaling $55,000.
Welcome summer with 5 safety tips. It's officially summer and extreme temperatures continue to affect many parts of the U.S. Quote, it's important to protect yourself and your family from high temperatures and humidity, end quote, says Dr. Brittany Beal, a Mayo Clinic emergency medicine physician. Quote, heat exhaustion can result if your body cannot regulate itself. Basically, it overheats. The good news is that it's preventable, end quote. Left untreated, heat exhaustion can result in heat stroke, and too much sun can lead to severe blistering of the skin as well as sun poisoning. Try these summer safety tips. Apply sunscreen. Lather up a broad-spectrum sunscreen with a sun protection factor, or SPF, of at least 30, though preferably SPF 50 to prevent skin cancer. Pay attention to the nose, ears, back of the neck, and scalp, as these areas are easily missed and are common skin cancer locations. It is also important to use waterproof sunscreen if you are going to be outside for long periods of time. Reapply sunscreen about every 2 hours or more often, especially if swimming or sweating excessively. Stay hydrated. It is important not only to drink plenty of water, but also plenty of electrolytes with your water. Sports drinks are a good way to ensure your body gets the electrolytes it needs to keep you hydrated. Electrolytes guide water into the cells and are necessary for the body to function. Without them, you won't be hydrating effectively. Avoid alcohol. Alcohol causes your body to waste the water it needs, causing you to become dehydrated much quicker. Being in the sun and drinking alcohol can be a dangerous mix, as both increase your dehydration risk. Protect your eyes. Remember to wear sunglasses if you are going to be outside for long periods of time. UV light can permanently damage your eyes. Know when to throw out food. Be careful about leaving food such as potato salad out too long in the sun, as this can increase the risk of food poisoning. In addition, be sure to thoroughly cook meats and wash your hands with soap and water after touching raw meat to reduce your risk of food poisoning. Summer is a great time to spend outdoors with your family and friends. Take time to be prepared. Use caution and know the risks. Commentary. Inflation creates greater need for food, water. In 2015, the West Texas Food Bank moved into a brand new distribution center in Odessa. At the time, our output was around 3.7 million pounds of food a year. We had steady growth into FY 2020, when WTFB distributed around 6.7 million pounds of food. With the heightened need due to the pandemic in FY 2021, WTFB distributed around 13 million pounds of food. We are still experiencing an elevated need. In fact, over 3,000 new clients were served last month. Every program we offer is seeing increases. Our Senior Box program served 2,002 last month, and we are on a waiting list. The Kids Cafe sites are serving more than 500 school-age children a day. With COVID becoming smaller in our rearview mirror, we are settling in to what we are reluctantly calling our new normal. We have seen our communities come together in times of crisis, and we still cannot believe how lucky we are to live in a place where we value our neighbors and take care of our own. With the recent water crisis in Odessa, many were forced to experience what some face daily, the lack of a basic necessity like water. While merely an inconvenience for most citizens, at the West Texas Food Bank, it is common to serve those who are struggling with much more than just a dried-up tap. Since the beginning of June, we have seen our pantry lines steadily grow longer. We continue to see our neighbors making tough choices like putting gas in the car or putting food on the table. For some, these painful choices are part of a daily reality that they cannot make ends meet with the rising costs of inflation. The price at the pump and the cost of groceries is something that affects us all. Nobody is immune to the current effects of rising inflation. Prices for common items like bacon, eggs, and coffee have skyrocketed 20% or more. For those who are budgeted down to the last dollar, they cannot absorb the cost. Most choose to go without because food is always something you can cut from the family budget. But what about those who have no choice, the children and elderly of our communities? How do those without the flexibility in their budgets continue to survive when filling up the gas tank to get to work takes the last of the money? They turn to the West Texas Food Bank and our network of partner agencies. With the generous support of people like you and our Summer Match campaign, your donations can be doubled. We are so grateful to our friends at the Wayne and Joanne Moore Charitable Foundation for matching all donations up to $100,000. History has proven that our greatest time of need, the most beneficial way to support the food bank is through a monetary donations. We understand that many of you who have supported us in the past are facing your own struggles, but your donations of time are simply invaluable to the mission of the food bank. We hope that you will take this opportunity to have your donation matched and to help twice as many neighbors who are struggling to put food on their tables. Your unwavering support is humbling, and the team at the West Texas Food Bank will continue to serve our 19 counties with dignity and pride thanks to your support. Earwax removal and tinnitus. Dear Dr. Roach, I am a healthy 76-year-old woman, and over the years, I've tended to accumulate earwax and periodically have it removed. The doctor used a slam vacuum, and the noise was very significant. Directly after that, he gave me a hearing test, and I have hearing loss in my right ear. Since that incident about 2 months ago, I've experienced tinnitus, which is debilitating and affecting my quality of life. The ear, nose, and throat doctor suggested an MRI, which I decided not to have. I know this is not curable, and I know that there are methods to manage it. My question is, do you think the decibel level of the vacuum exacerbated the tinnitus? The doctor said that because one of my ears was 100% impacted, I am noticing the tinnitus more now. Answer. I think your doctor is probably right that you are noticing the tinnitus more now. Tinnitus is most commonly due to hearing loss from any cause. You are unlikely to experience long-lasting hearing damage from a short duration of a loud noise. A vacuum device held right next to your eardrum is very loud, up to 103 decibels. Hearing damage from acute noise exposure is likely to occur when a noise is greater than 120 decibels. Had the doctor checked your hearing before cleaning your ear, I suspect it would have been worse than it is with the wax removed. But of course, I cannot be sure. Using an over-the-counter earwax remover prior to suctioning makes it a much easier procedure, and sometimes makes suctioning unnecessary. Tinnitus that pulses in time to your heartbeat should always have further evaluation, as it might be due to an abnormal blood vessel in the brain, such as an aneurysm or fistula, abnormal connection from an artery to a vein. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Some HPV numbers are better than others. Dear Dr. Roach, my girlfriend had a routine gynecological exam and a colposcopy and was positive for HPV-6 and had something called CIN1. She was told to come back in a year. Do I need to worry about this? PAA. There are different subtypes of the human papillomavirus, some of which can cause cervical cancer. HPV 16 and HPV 18 together account for 70% of cervical cancer. The type she had, HPV 6, is one of the most common for genital warts and warts on other body parts as well. It can cause CIN1, which is low-grade cervical intraepithelial neoplasia, but it does not cause high-grade lesions, CIN2 and CIN3, or cervical cancer. the vast majority of women who get HPV-6 are able to clear the infection within 1 year. As her sexual partner, you are at risk for developing a genital wart. The high-risk forms of HPV, such as HPV-16, can definitely cause serious disease in men and can even lead to penile cancer, as well as head and neck cancer. Since HPV-6 does not cause those cancers, you are not at risk at these very dangerous complications from this particular HPV infection. I would still recommend you use protection, especially condoms, for any sexual activity. You also might consider getting the HPV vaccine, which protects both men and women from serious disease associated with the virus. The vaccine is given through age 45 or in any age for a person with immune deficiency. Even though the vaccine works primarily against HPV type 16 and 18, it is also effective against type 6 and 11, which cause most genital warts.
Family drama intensifies with dog's disappearance. Dear Abby, my husband and I have inherited 4 dogs from relatives. I was out of state for a month. My husband was home when 2 of them were dog-napped, driven 42 miles away and abandoned in the wilderness. I suspected who had done it right away, but when I heard where the dogs had been abandoned, I knew without a doubt. We were lucky. One dog was microchipped, which eventually led him back to us. Both were cared for by rescue foundations until I could bring them home. The person who did it is our son's girlfriend and the mother of his child. We were appalled and feel betrayed and sickened. My son admitted he knew she had done it. He showed remorse and gave a heartfelt apology. She has completely avoided us with no admission or apology. Should we press charges for stealing our dogs and abandoning them? They live on our property in a home we own and pay nothing to live there. She and I used to be close. Now my husband and I no longer want to have her around. All trust is gone. Please advise me how to deal with this. Signed, Victim in Ohio. Dear Victim, did the dogs do anything to threaten the girlfriend or your grandchild? If the answer is yes, then those animals present a danger. If the answer is no, tell your son you plan to press charges against his girlfriend for theft and animal cruelty, and you expect him to corroborate that she was the perpetrator. If he refuses, give them a date by which they should be off your property. Dear Abby, I recently lost my precious husband of 43 years to COVID. Needless to say, this is a very painful time for me. Since his passing, my best friend has been blowing me off if we have plans and no longer calling or texting at all. I don't get it. I have done a lot for her during her friendship. I'm experiencing the hardest time in my life, and I really need a friend. Now I'm not only grieving the loss of my husband, but I'm also grieving the loss of a friendship and don't understand why. Aside from confronting her, is there anything I can do? Signed, Lonely and Sad in Nevada. Dear Lonely, please accept my sympathy for the loss of your husband. That your friend is behaving the way she is, is regrettable. Before confronting her, please let me suggest some things you can do. Join a grief support group if you don't already belong to one. Your doctor or religious advisor can direct you to one. Stay physically and mentally active, which will give you less time to brood. After that, you can decide whether it's in your interest to confront this person for her inability or unwillingness to be present for you when you needed her most. Do not expect her to magically change if you do this, but it may provide you the opportunity to get what's bothering you off your chest, which you are certainly entitled to do.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, July 7th. Woman overhears co-worker's rude conversation about her. Dear Abby, more than a year ago, I heard my co-worker, whom I consider a friend, talking to another co-worker, who is a gossip, about my belly. I am 30 pounds overweight, and although I work out regularly, I still have this paunch from having had 3 kids. I am hurt that she would have said anything, but she doesn't know I heard her. Occasionally, I see her glance at my stomach, and I'm reminded of what happened. It is bizarre. Why is she looking at my stomach or discussing it with someone else? I always admired her and felt she was a friend to me. Should I bring it up next time she looks at my stomach? I'm having a hard time overcoming the hurt and wonder if I've made a mistake by considering her a friend. What do you think? Signed, Soft in the Middle. Dear Soft, you caught your co-worker in mid-gossip. Shame on her. What I think is that this woman isn't as good a friend to you as you have been to her. If you wish to tell her you heard what she said and are very hurt by it, you are within your rights. Go for it, because she owes you an apology. Dear Abby, I am a senior in high school. A lot of my friends are going to four-year colleges, while I'm starting at a community college. Many of them are going far away. They know their majors, and they're all very confident in their future plans. I can't help but feel left out, even though my community college plan will save money and allow me to experiment before choosing my major. I'm confident in my plan. I just feel so out of the loop with my friends' college discussions. Is it okay to feel awkward during this transitional period? And is it okay to be unsure of what I want to do? Signed, Wondering About the Future. Dear Wondering, please stop being so hard on yourself. You are far from the only young adult who is unsure of what steps they should take as they approach adulthood. Some high school seniors take a gap year off and get a job for this very reason. Community college seems like a practical solution for you. Bear in mind that your friends' confidence in their future plans doesn't guarantee they will end up in the careers they are aiming for now. Many times, life interferes and takes folks on a very different path. Dear Abby, my spouse cancels me, and I am no longer willing to accept feeling devalued. There has been a serious communications breakdown. Mid-sentence of almost any topic of conversation I begin, he interrupts me with, "I know already," "You take too long," or "I'm busy." Another response is typically, "I've got work to do," when in fact he is reading the newspaper or just getting a cup of coffee. How do I convince my spouse this is detrimental to our relationship, or is getting through to him even possible? Signed, Woman Who Does Not Matter. Dear Woman, what one does in a situation like this is tell the spouse the current situation is not tolerable and suggest counseling to save your marriage. If your spouse then refuses, you must decide whether to move on, because your assessment of your relationship is correct.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.